It was early September, a busy time of year for raising the dead. The pre-Halloween rush seemed to start earlier and earlier every year. Every animator at Animators Inc. was booked solid. I was no exception. In fact, I'd been offered more work than even my ability to go without sleep could supply. Mr. Leo Harlan should have been grateful to get the appointment. He didn't look grateful. Truthfully, he didn't have the look of anything. Harlan was medium. Medium height, dark hair but not too dark. Skin neither pale nor too tan. Eyes brown, but an indistinguishable shade of brown. In fact, the most remarkable thing about Mr. Harlan was that there was nothing remarkable about him. Even his suit was dark, conservative, a businessman's outfit that had been in style for the last 20 years and probably would still be in style 20 years down the road. His shirt was white. His tie neatly knotted, his not-too-big, not-too-small hands were well-groomed, but not manicured. His appearance told me so little that that in itself was interesting and vaguely disturbing. I took a sip from my coffee mug with the motto, "If you slip me decaf, I'll rip your head off." I'd brought it to work when our boss Bert had put decaf in the coffee maker without telling anyone, thinking we wouldn't notice. Half the office thought they had mono for a week, until we discovered Bert's dastardly plot. The coffee that our secretary, Mary, had gotten for Mr. Harlan sat on the edge of my desk. His mug was the one with the logo of Animators Inc. on it. He'd taken a minute sip of the coffee when Mary had first handed it to him. He'd taken the coffee black, but he sipped it like he hadn't tasted it, or it really didn't matter what it tasted like. He had taken it out of politeness, not out of desire. I sipped my own coffee, heavy on the sugar and cream, trying to make up for the late work the night before. Caffeine and sugar, the two basic food groups. His voice was like the rest of him, so ordinary it was extraordinary. He spoke with absolutely no accent, no hint of region or country. "I want you to raise my ancestor, Miss Blake." "So you said." "You seem to doubt me, Miss Blake." "Call it skepticism." "Why would I come in here and lie to you?" I shrugged. "People have done it before." "I assure you, Miss Blake, I am telling the truth." Trouble was, I just didn't believe him. Maybe I was being paranoid, but my left arm under the nice navy suit jacket was crisscrossed with scars, from the crooked cross-shaped burn scar where a vampire servant had branded me to the slashing claw marks of a shape-shifted witch. Plus knife scars, thin and clean compared to the rest. My right arm had only one knife scar. It was nothing in comparison. And there were other scars hidden under the navy skirt and royal blue shell. Silk didn't care if it slid over scars or smooth, untouched skin. I'd earned my right to be paranoid. "What ancestor do you want raised, and why?" I smiled when I said it, pleasant, but the smile didn't reach my eyes. I'd begun to have to work at getting my smiles to reach all the way up to my eyes. He smiled, too, and it left his eyes as unaffected as my own. "Smile because you were smiled at, not because it really meant anything." He reached out to pick up the coffee mug again, and this time I noticed a heaviness in the left front of his jacket. He wasn't wearing a shoulder holster, I'd have noticed that, but there was something heavier than a wallet in his left breast pocket. It could have been a lot of things, but my first thought was, gun. I've learned to listen to my first thoughts. You're not paranoid if people really are out to get you. I had my own gun tucked under my left arm in a shoulder holster. That had evened things up. But I didn't want to turn my office into the OK Corral. He had a gun. Maybe. Probably. For all I knew, it could have been a really heavy cigar case. But I'd have bet almost anything that that heaviness was a weapon. I could either sit here and try to talk myself out of that belief, or I could act as if I was right. If I was wrong, I'd apologize later. If I was right, well, I'd be alive. Better alive and rude than dead and polite. I interrupted his talk about his family tree. I hadn't really heard any of it. I was fixated on that heaviness in his pocket. Until I found out whether it was a gun or not, nothing else much mattered to me. I smiled and forced it up into my eyes. "What is it exactly that you do for a living, Mr. Harlan?" He drew a slightly deeper breath, settling into his chair just a bit. It was the closest thing I'd seen to tension in the man. The first real human movement. People fidget. Harlan didn't. People don't like dealing with people who raise the dead. Don't ask me why, but we make them nervous. Harlan wasn't nervous. He wasn't anything. He was just sitting across the desk from me, chilling, nondescript eyes, pleasant and empty.